Welcome to this rebroadcast of Hope in the Night. We hope that the content of this program brings you biblical hope and practical help. Now here's Hope in the Night with June Hunt. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, you have had something on your mind lately. Every once in a while, you kind of refashion, redesign, I guess, rewrite some of the information on our keys for living. And we have over 100 topics, as many people know. You are working on the one now on decision making.
Yes. And I thought I would, I don't know if that you know this, Jeff, but at times, if I am asked to speak, let's say it is a college graduation. It could be a seminary graduation. But for some reason, periodically, I'm asked to speak at those types of events. And, you know, you think, what would be helpful? Well, so a long time ago, the first time I did speak, I took our counseling keys and actually gave some practical application. What are the tests for decision making? What are the tests for decision making? So I have 8 tests that I think could be very interesting for you to hear. The first is the scriptural test. Has God already spoken about this in His Word? For example, in the Bible, marrying a non-believer in hopes of drawing the spouse to Christ could be an example. Even though 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." So there are many people who are trying to, in fact, I had a dear friend, a young man, he called me his mentor. He had 3 mentors, and this was the situation. And he chose not to continue dating her, even though he was very drawn to her, yet she was not a believer. He was, and on the basis of this scripture, she chose not to continue. He chose not to continue dating her because, again, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And by the way, the Bible does say all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. So, the first test, has God already spoken about it in His Word, the scriptural test? This is when you have a decision to make. The second is a secrecy test. By the way, I made all of these an alliteration on using the letter in the alphabet S. So the scriptural test, this is a secrecy test. Would it bother me if everyone knew it was my choice? In other words, let's say I've received overpayment returned to me by mistake by a teller at a restaurant. There are times when we could be, well, we could think, well, no one's hurt if, you know, if I keep an overpayment returned in cash or credit. Well, it's not that no one knows. God knows. Proverbs 11:3 says the integrity of the upright guides them, but the listen to this, the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. So it doesn't matter if no one supposedly knows. God knows, and we're called to be individuals of integrity.
Right, yes.
The third S is the survey test. What if everyone followed my example? And I remember when I was first doing our keys on decision making, it was like, well, okay, here's some trash fell out of the car. Does it matter if you open the door and all of a sudden here is something on the floor that, well, assuming that a little trash tossed out of the car window or of the door will never be noticed on a busy highway or on a street. No, if everybody followed your example, we'd just have all this garbage all over. But the main thing is we are told in 1 Timothy 4:12, set an example for the believers in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. So this is not setting in the right kind of example. The S is the spirit test. That's number 4. This is huge. Okay, you have a decision to make. Let's say somebody's putting pressure on you. I was with a widow, new widow, and all of a sudden she's being pressured by a man to make a decision, a financial decision, and she pulls me in on this. And clearly, I said to her, she said, I think I've just got to do it. I said, are you being people pressured or spirit led? And all of a sudden she said, I'm being people pressured. So you're really not being led by God. In fact, Galatians 1:10, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Galatians 1:10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be the servant of Christ. So it's fine if you are spirit-led, but if you're being people-pressured, do not make a decision unless you are spirit-led.
What does the Bible say about anxiety, abuse, or grief? Does the Bible really say anything about addiction, boundaries, or dealing with difficult people? As June Hunt has often said, there really are biblical solutions to all of life's struggles. We are excited to let you know about the newest and most comprehensive resource from June Hunt and the Ministry of Hope for the Heart, the Care and Counsel Library. Developed over a span of 35 years with the help of pastors, counselors, and ministry leaders, the Care and Counsel Library is a 50-topic, 10-volume set of books which provide clear answers from God's Word on real-life issues. This is a must-have resource for anyone who wants to grow in biblical wisdom. And right now, you can save 25% when you get the whole set. Check out the Care and Counsel Library today at hopefortheheart.org/CCL. That's hopefortheheart.org/CCL.
No matter what you're facing, there's hope. Sometimes it's hard to believe that. When we face challenges at home, work, in our family, or maybe a private struggle, it can be hard to see what God is doing. The good news is, you're not alone. If you're facing a difficult life issue, we'd love to help. Give us a call at 1-800-NIGHT-17 to talk with June Hunt on the Hope in the Night broadcast. You can talk with June about any issue, whether it's family, marriage, anxiety, anger, abuse, grief, or just the everyday stress of life. June would love to hear your story and work through it together with God's Word. The Bible says there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. If you'd like to talk with June, give us a call at 1-800-NIGHT-17. That's 1-800-644-4817. Your story might bless someone else's life.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. I want you to know we are a crowdfunded mission. Hope for the Heart exists because of financial support of those of you who listen. And I would like to encourage you, if you're considering giving a gift, go ahead and do so in the coming days and weeks. Actually, most of our giving comes in the final weeks of the year, and that's what fuels our next year, to be able to keep going and do what we do. So much of what we do here is give content away, whether it's through this radio program, through the website, resources we send to each night's caller, podcasts, conferences, so many resources, because we want to reach as many people as possible with biblical hope and practical help. And your gift is what helps us do that. You can support us in a couple of ways at the website hopefortheheart.org/donate or call 800-488-HOPE. And that is the number you call for customer support as well. If there are resources here that you are interested in, or maybe you just want to know, hey, what do you have that might help me in this situation that I'm in? You can talk to customer support and they'll help you with that. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And their number again, 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673. Well, let's get to tonight's caller, and we have listening on WFCJ in Ohio. We welcome Sunflower.
Well, welcome to Hope in the Night. Glad you're with us, Sunflower. How can we help you?
Hello, Ms. Jill. I enjoy listening to you all show.
And thank you.
It has helped me. It has kept me in the hope that I already know to believe. So I just, but it seemed like the last 10 years I've been in the book of Jeremiah and the book of Isaiah.
Mm.
And it's like I can't get, it's, I read all of them, but it's, this is where the Lord keeps talking to me about things that. So
well, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So is this part of your story right now, that you've had significant challenges and tears?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really, he also talked to me, Isaiah, about the comeback. So I do know that victory is already won. If I keep my eyes stayed on what he speak to me about, but I get unfocused to what I want, and that's what has occurred all these years.
Okay. Then describe,
forgetting about what God wants for me.
Okay, what, obviously, there are some major challenges that you've had. So describe what's been happening with your life. In other words, what has caused the significant pain that you feel right now?
I think it started, I have two children. I think it really started when my son went away to prison. I really think that's where a lot of grief started, a separation in my family. And then while he was away, my daughter, which was diagnosed from birth with a syndrome, the state ended up stepping in to help me after 18 years of my struggle, never knowing how to take care of her, what to do. It was all God-given help and support with family as well. And when they stepped in and removed her to help her keep her alive and for me to live, just seemed like I just started making wrong choices.
Okay.
It's like I had no more, it's like I didn't have my children to observe my choices to keep me on the right track. And I started making wrong choices as if I was lonely without them, which, of course, I missed my son. I grieved about that. And I was involved in a relationship at that time with a young man that I grew up with for about 20 years. We weren't married. Mm-hmm. He wasn't married.
Mm-hmm.
And he got shot in the head accidentally. So I went through, like, it's like everybody that I loved was away. And my father passed away. All that together, my mother moved to another city. Everything in that era. So I gave my life to the Lord in 2003. But I still was in that web of sin because I end up marrying a guy that didn't have any children. And it was like he d- just disapproved of my grandchildren, so that didn't work. So got a divorce, what, 9 months later. This is another guy I knew for many years. And then I met the current guy that I'm with. Right after I divorced in 2006, I got involved in another relationship in 2007. And I've been with the same guy ever since. But we didn't get married until 2016. But it has not... I know that this was not God that will have me connect to another guy that quick. What I was doing, I believe I was trying to replace what was not there, which is I really love to give, and I needed to give my love. I wanted somebody to feel my love. And so I just received someone that I thought was interested in me and a family and being a grandfather, just the whole, and it wasn't like that. So his charm really, along with his believing in God and his character, kind of won me over. But as time went on, I realized that I needed someone that I can give my attention to, and he was never available because he's a workaholic. He's an older guy, so he has to rest when he come in. Seemed like he really, really wasn't interested in what I really thought would be as time went on, and I just started noticing little things that I got far away from God. The more I got far away from God, the more it seemed like I went on a, it's like a shipwreck.
Okay, so help me understand. What I'm hearing is you have this daughter. You said she has a syndrome. She was born with a syndrome. What is the syndrome?
Prader-Willi. It's called Prader-Willi. It's an eating disorder where they say they don't know how full they are. They just keep eating.
Okay, and so you said the state stepped in.
Yes.
So
she always had gone to Children's Hospital, and once I took her, I guess I had taken her since she was born. And, like, at the age, it's almost like I was targeted. I feel like I was targeted from when she turned that age, because I always wonder where were they at all this time. And then when she turned 17, I guess, about to be an adult, they felt the need that I needed some help, which a lot of the help that they were given, it was help, but it caused a lot of failures, too, because they really, sometimes these agencies or these disability places, they take people in, but they don't have the training. And so it's like I was set up for failure when I joined with them, because I thought when I joined with them that it would be just us. And once I joined with them and they connected through the court system, court system stepped in and said that I needed some help with her. Whereas we're in this county, had they supplied the training for the people they take in, families could stay together. So they placed my daughter in a, like, far away.
Okay, so she is not near you. And how long ago was that?
Well, I tried them twice. This last time, she's been there since 2010. In 2010, I became the guardian, which another agency they had hired, even though I still had rights. They decided that they didn't need to have her, so they surrendered her back to me, which I became the guardian, and I stayed on for 10 years. And once I stayed in for 10 years, all of us, well, I never had representation because the lawyer just decided that, she said I didn't need her anymore. But everything was like for their advantage, because I would not surrender my daughter to them. And they allowed me to walk alongside and help and work and do the paperwork. But when I no longer would, like, the Lord just started enlightening me and showing me and telling me and helping me, because I had no education of a professional way of doing things with them. I knew nothing about guardianship. I knew nothing about filing paperwork. So once the lawyer left, I was left on my own doing that paperwork. But by that time, the Holy Ghost had got me to the point where pretty much I was doing it pretty much well. If something was out of order, they would have let me know. But she got me to that point and then left. So I always seemed to have to deal with them. Being her biological mother, it always been a fight. So after the 10 years was up, they dismissed me, and I tried to get my sister, which came from another city, to get her, which already has 5 foster children from the age of birth, now teenagers, sick and all, and God gave her, doing well, and they turned her down. So...
Okay, let me make a comment right here. There's something you said that kind of struck my heart. And I appreciate you saying you've got many challenges in many areas. So what I think we've got to start with is a statement you made, and that is, I've continued to make wrong choices. The point of my even saying that is, the most important thing you can do is exercise your will. You know, we are body, soul, and spirit. Well, the body we tend to feed and try to meet certain needs there. And then the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. The will is what we're talking about. There, you know, no matter who is where, no matter who is in your life or what your situation, I think the issue is to start at the beginning from this point on, saying, no matter what, I am going to make decisions that are pleasing to God. I'm going to make decisions that are pleasing to God. In fact, in Psalm 40, listen to this. Psalm 40, verse 8. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I'm going to repeat that. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. You see, you can't go wrong when you do what God says is right.
Do you ever struggle to believe that God loves you, that He accepts you, forgives you, and sees you as His precious, beloved child? So many people have a distorted picture of God, that He is distant, disappointed, or doesn't care about what's going on in our lives. The truth is, God cares about you more than you know. We want to encourage you to check out June Hunt's popular devotional, Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. In this 31-day devotional, June Hunt provides compassionate, biblical insight to help you understand and embrace the life-changing identity you have in Christ. Each day provides a biblical truth along with a short reflection and journaling questions to help you see yourself through God's eyes. We give this devotional to every caller on Hope in the Night because it has changed so many lives. Get a copy of June Hunt's devotional for yourself or a loved one at junehunt.org.
We would love your prayers here at Hope for the Heart. Over and over in God's Word, the Lord encourages us to lift up one another in prayer. We are reminded in 2 Corinthians 1:11, you help us by your prayers. So we want to encourage you to join the prayer team of June Hunt and the Ministry of Hope for the Heart. You can join the Hope for the Heart prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. When you sign up to join our prayer team, we will send you an email each month to keep you updated with the latest prayer needs of June Hunt and the Ministry of Hope for the Heart. Our prayer team is a great way to stay connected and support June and support the Hope of the Night broadcast. We are so grateful for your prayers and support of our listeners and friends like you who make this ministry possible. You can join our prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. That's hopefortheheart.org/pray. And thank you for partnering with us in prayer.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and this is Hope in the Night with June Hunt. We want to help you, and we want to help you help others. Well, if you have any questions or concerns about the topics that we have here on the program, you can get in touch with our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll help you access the appropriate resources. Their number, again, is 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673. If you'd like to email them, if it's more convenient for you, just do that at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Ask any questions you have there regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. And again, that's customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Now back to our conversation tonight with Sunflower.
Well, my friend, I know that. Are you okay?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just so joyful connected to you all, because I feel that your love and your heart is really sincere for me, wholeheartedly for me, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Time right now.
Okay. Well, you know, I know that when you said, and you were candid, you were honest, you said, I've continued to make wrong choices, wrong decisions. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm impressed with that is many people, they just blame, I'll just say it this way, they blame whatever is wrong on somebody else, and they don't take responsibility, but you already did that. You said, I've continued to make wrong choices, and it was after a period of time. So what I'm saying is there's no better time to change and to start a new pattern than now. And you can say, Lord, I'm going to, and this is going to be true for every single person. At times we are confronted with something and we literally do not know what to do. Meaning, you know, there'll be something that will come into our lives, and at times we don't have, quote unquote, the right answer, but there are times when at least we know what not to do, and therefore there are some choices that you are given to make, and that would be some of the things that God even tells us to do. So I'm going to ask you a question. Does it matter to you if God says something specific that we are to do? Does it matter to you that you do what he says?
Absolutely.
Good.
I do know that God is all love, all powerful, and truly deserving of my honor. Mm. And when I disobey God, he loves me so much that he sent me so many warnings. Mm. And I still don't listen, to the point where I listen, but then mm-hmm. I don't let go. And I heard him tell me to be still and know that he is God.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I'm hearing that you even know some of the character of God. And it is true that God is all-powerful. He created the entire universe. He created you, all human beings. He is the creator. And with all power, that means that he has the ability to change people who will yield their will to his will. And there are many things that he can do. In fact, I think the most hopeful thing is this. In the book of Jeremiah, you've already mentioned Jeremiah, there's a poignant, important passage in Jeremiah 29:11. God is the one speaking here. He says, I know the plans I have for you. That's for you, sunflower. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now, for you to hang on to that scripture is going to be vital. In fact, if I were you, I would read and literally repeat that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, and thank God out loud. Thank him that it's true. You say, thank you, God, that you've told me that you know the plans you have for me, plans to prosper me, not to harm me, plans to give me hope and a future. See, right there, it is allowing the one that you've already identified, and that is God, who is all-powerful. But you said before that he is all love. Yeah. Now, that's huge. See, because because somebody has power, power can be used for wrong, to do the wrong thing. And we've all chosen wrong. Every single one of us, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. But the Lord laid on him, and it's really referring to Jesus, the Lord laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. So he died on the cross for our sin, so that if you and I would be willing to humble our hearts and receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, then he would forgive all of our sin. And he would put us on the right course. So I think, you know, first things first, sometimes people can say, well, I want to do whatever I'm supposed to do. Well, the most important thing is, let's get first things first. And that is you and your relationship with God. Now, let me ask a question. When I think about the things that he tells us to do, that would be me included. One thing that's very important, he says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Mm-hmm. And that passage is in Hebrews 10. Now, what I'm going to ask, are you a part and active in a church that is a Christian church where the Word of God is taught?
Not a building, per se, or a community of believers. I'm all around them, though. I have asked Jesus to guide and order my footsteps to a church. And I have not been...
Okay, how long has it been? How long has it been since you've been involved and active in a church?
Since I've met him.
Since you've been with the man
ten
that
years.
You... Since, okay,
since
10 years.
2011, 12, like that.
Okay. Well, the truth is... it's God's truth. The Bible is... and Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And so the most important thing for you to be doing is nurturing the relationship that Jesus wants to have with you. And I think, again, this gets down to first things first. Like if you say, well, I want to go on this trip, I've got to go from like where you live to, I'm going to just say, to Washington, D.C., or to Dallas, Texas, that's where I live, or whatever trip you go on, there are certain things that prepare you. Like, for example, if you were to have an automobile, you're going to have gasoline. You're going to have transportation somehow. But you start where you are, and then you literally are in a vehicle of some kind that gets you from here to there. But you don't start already way over there. You start right where you are, and then you map out your course. So what we would say is, because I can tell you're responding to the truth, you're not rejecting it. Okay.
I'm so thirsty.
Okay. Yeah. So I think, and let me tell you why this is important. I'm talking about why it's important for you that I'm going to read the passage actually in Hebrews 10, beginning, let's see, I think I'll start with verse 23, verse 23 of chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold I'm going to go even before that. I like this. Verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider, this is so important, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now listen to this. This is what I was talking about. Let us not give up meeting together. So that's talking about not just, it's talking about with others. Meeting together. It's not just, well, I've been in a church out there, or I can worship God all by myself. We're talking about being biblical. Do you think it's important to be biblical?
Connect. Yes, ma'am. With the other believers.
Yes. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you are seeing the day approaching. So the point is, you can also, listen to this, you can also be an answer to someone else's prayer. There may be a person who God wants you to know, to get to meet, to know, and you can be a blessing and an encourager. You will be also encouraged, and that's what the Bible is saying. Let us encourage one another. So, you know, if we just start with what God has for sure said, and that is to be in a church fellowship, and you have indicated that you want to do what God wants you to do, well, what you have to do is start somewhere. And we'll talk about how you could start, because you said you prayed about this already.
If you or a loved one are struggling with a difficult life issue, we want to encourage you to check out the free resources from June Hunt and the Ministry of Hope for the Heart. At hopefortheheart.org/free, you'll find over 50 free resources that you can download straight to your phone or computer. Our free PDF resources provide quick answers from God's Word on real-life issues, including anger, abuse, anxiety, family issues, forgiveness, and more. They are absolutely free and easy to access. Many of our listeners have found these to be helpful for overcoming personal challenges, and some have found them to be a useful ministry tool to share with others who need help with a personal struggle like guilt, stress, or worry. Whatever issue you or a loved one are facing, you can find helpful free resources at hopefortheheart.org/free. That's hopefortheheart.org/free.
Are you struggling with a difficult life issue? Maybe it's a family problem, a private struggle, or something in your past you've never resolved. The good news is you're not alone. Sometimes we need to talk things through with someone who will listen to our story and help make sense of what we're experiencing. For more than 20 years on Hope in the Night, June Hunt has listened to thousands of personal stories, heartaches and challenges from people like you, and provided compassionate counsel from God's Word. No matter what the issue is, family, marriage, anxiety, abuse, grief, or just the daily stresses of work and life, June would love to talk with you and share help and hope through God's Word. If you'd like to talk with June on Hope in the Night, give us a call at 1-800-917. We'll protect your privacy, and sharing your story might bless someone else's life. Give us a call today at 1-800-917. That's 1-800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we'd like to thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry. If you have any questions about this topic tonight or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living to help you address your situation. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE, and you might ask for them for the resource called Decision Making, Discerning the Will of God. It's one of our keys for living, and they can help you to get that or any other resource that might be helpful to you. Also, if you'd like to get in touch with the program, just call us at 800-917, and we'd like to talk to you about what's going on in your life, what questions you might have, and how we can help you with that, and to discuss that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night. If there's a question you have, maybe you'd just like to submit it by email and wait to hear your answer on the air, and we can do that as well. The question can be sent to askjune@hopefortheheart.org, askjune@hopefortheheart.org. If we pick your question to answer on another episode of Hope in the Night, we'd like to send you some resources. So let us know how we can help you, and we'd send those out and answer your question on the air as well. Let's get back to our conversation now with Sunflower.
Well, my friend, I'm hearing that you're not opposed at all to doing what God wants you to do. It's just that I hear you have a heart for that, and that's precious. That is wonderful, because some people just don't care. But it sounds like you do care, that you want to be in the will of God. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. And I do know that. I do know that you, as Jesus has said, you will be persecuted. I have learned that you can even persecute your own self. Nobody else don't have to do it. And that's why I accepted what I said to you, that I have made the wrong choice.
Okay. Well, there's no better time like the present to say, I am going to be committed from this point on to literally do what you want me to do, Lord. Now, is that the desire of your heart?
That's a release to just surrender and truly mean it. So I do believe that. I do need to get...
Okay.
Without a belief.
Okay, that's precious. Now, God will honor that. See, it's not just you. Let me ask this. Has there been a time in your life where you know you humbled your heart and you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, giving Him control of your life?
Yes.
Or is that
when I did that, I didn't know to... really didn't know. I know that God is all love, and all choices that a person can make does not agree with God. It's not agreeable.
Okay, sweetheart. And you know what is good? I know this is going to sound strange. There is such a thing as good guilt. It's knowing that you've chosen wrong and you feel guilty, but that's from the Spirit of God. You said that it was the year 2003 when you sounded like that's when you gave your life to Christ, right?
And received the Holy Ghost. That's it.
Well, yes. The truth is, now, when you have humbled your heart and you have Christ living in you, the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. With him on the inside, what does he do? He produces fruit. And
yes.
Not only that, you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The Bible says that in Ephesians 1. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? He convicts us. This is good conviction. He convicts us to move from wrong choices to right choices. And so it's good to acknowledge if you feel guilty. I call it good guilt. If I have been wrong, and I have been convicted by the Spirit of God that I'm headed down the wrong road, I should have good guilt. And it's not negative. It is positive because he'll put me on a correction course. If you're driving a car and all of a sudden you're on the wrong road, in other words, you're literally on a one-way street but going the wrong direction, that's not good. And you know that you've got to do what if you're on the wrong direct going the wrong direction?
Get on the right, get in the right, get in the right, correct, safe.
Right, you got to turn around. You don't stay on that wrong road, meaning the wrong way for you, because that's a good way to get killed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
that's exactly why I know that this is a divine connection, because I love to pray and worship and honor God.
Okay.
And I really have not been my strongest since I've been out from among other fellow believers. I really noticed that.
Yeah, well, and you've said that it's been 10 years. You said the last 10 years, you know, you've had confirmation, even spiritually. So I think the issue is start at the beginning, and that means to identify a strong Christian church, and you visit, and if there are several choices, you go three times to one church and three times to the other church or whatever, until you feel that, until you know for sure that this would be the right choice for you. But it needs to be a church where the Bible is taught, where Jesus himself is exalted. It's not emotionalism. It is saying, I want truth. I want your truth, Lord. And so then, and I'm just going to be personal here. I can remember my mother was in a wrong relationship, and it was very painful. All I know is mother had no friends, and I didn't understand why. And later I learned, because I was in school and all my school friends had mothers who had friends, and my mother did not. And much later I asked my mother, why did you not have a friend? And she said, oh honey, the way I was living my life, I couldn't bring shame upon a friend. And because my father had multiple women and all that, it was very It was very painful. But the point is, I wasn't even a Christian, and I was praying for my mom to have a friend. And then all of a sudden, we started going to a biblically based church, and the women who got around my mother, they were my greatest gift in life. When every time I think of the most important gift, it was the friends that mother developed within this biblically strong, wonderful church. And I knew nothing about the Bible. I was not a Christian at all. I was a teenager. I was in high school, but I didn't know anything. And now we all, well, the main thing I'm saying to you is I'm going to pray for you that you have, that you will give to, that you will receive what my mother received, and that is godly friends who will be iron sharpening iron. The Bible talks about how we need to be iron sharpening iron, where we sharpen one another. We are better because of others in our lives, who others who are yielded to the Lord.
So, such as that, and that as absolutely, I could really.
I can tell you could really use. You need to have. In fact, the Bible. Here's another scripture that's important. It's Proverbs 13:20. The person who walks with the wise grows wise. He who walks with the wise grows wise. So I want you to pray for wise friends. Wise friends. And then allow him to bring into your life those who are biblically growing. Those, not those who just, it's okay if they have problems, but they need to be growing Christians. And then what you will do is you will grow with those friends. Now, is there any reason you cannot go this next Sunday to a biblically based church and visit? Is there any reason you cannot do that this next Sunday?
No, I have. There's no reason on my calendar that I would. I know that God is a jealous God, so I don't see no reason not. And I know a church that I've already been to before that I really like. And that's the church that I may actually visit this Sunday, because I have been putting it off.
Okay. Well, you know, what I hear is you have the awareness that, that's what you said to me, that you've continued to make wrong choices. Well, now we're going to start making right choices. Choices that line up, they line up with the Bible, with God's holy word. And you take your Bible with you this next Sunday, and then you'll ask, is there a Bible study? Find out, is there a Bible study that you could attend? Now, many churches, like my church, there is a Sunday school time, which is a Bible study. But a lot of times
I really
there are
also...
I enjoy
it with others.
Good.
Yes, ma'am.
Good. And there may be another Bible study also besides the one that would be like a Sunday school. But you need to find out when do they meet. Where do they meet?
Well, I join with my mother, who's 84. She goes every Friday in the senior citizen building, and I can join and sit alongside her.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that way you'll have fellowship with her, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be doing this for you. I'm going to be sending you our, we call them keys for living. Counseling keys on decision making, discerning the will of God. And so You will be receiving that, and I am so proud of you because you've already decided that you need to do what God wants you to do, and there's no more important decision than that. You continue to hang on to hope.
We will send our Keys for Living called Decision Making, Discerning the Will of God. We'll send that out to tonight's caller, and we do that free of charge. That's because of your generous support of this ministry. If you'd like to give to keep those resources going out and to keep this program on the air, you may do so at hopefortheheart.org/donate, and we thank you. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and our materials and recent programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also find our programs wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope. The preceding program was pre-recorded.